Today we're going to discuss any questions that you have about Zazen. This is not a Zazen instruction for beginners as we have on Saturday morning. Although if you're a beginner and you haven't had Zazen instruction, it's okay to be here. But basically this session is for simply refreshing our memory about what we're supposed to be doing in Zazen and dealing with any questions you might have. So think about it and let me know if you have one. Paul.
About whether, okay, I know we're supposed to have our eyes partially open, but I have a strong kind of desire to sometimes to allow my eyes to close, because there's a sensation that I tend to associate with Zazen, which can be strong, and it's pleasant, and it's stronger when my eyes, sometimes it's stronger when my eyes are closed, and I have to sort of somewhat struggle to keep my eyes open. And that sensation is less as I open my eyes at all. Sometimes.
Yeah.
So should I go ahead and open my eyes anyway?
Yeah. But you know, no matter how much you struggle, you can't keep your eyes open. So keeping your eyes open is a attitude. It's not necessarily a rule. You can only do what you can do. So
I'm confused by that. I think I can't keep my eyes open.
Well, then do it. And then you should, because you're not trying to create pleasant or unpleasant situations. The reason why we keep our eyes open is so that we have, well, even though it's easy to dream with our eyes open, it's easier to dream with our eyes closed. So, eyes open means that we're not disconnecting. We're not disconnecting into dreamland. Or, you know, falling asleep. If your eyes are closed, it's easier to fall asleep. You know, in Zazen, Zazen is moment by moment waking up. That's what Zazen is, essentially. Moment by moment waking up. So, the mind, consciousness, creates a dream state. So we're, most of the time, we're dreaming about something. We call it thinking often. But it's, we dream and then we act out our dream. So, Zazen is the dream of Zazen. But the dream of Zazen is to keep waking up. So, waking up is where we're just here doing this. We're just here doing that. This. Just this. So, thinking is something extra. Dreaming is something extra. And dreaming clouds our essential luminosity. So, you know, we dream and then we wake up. And then we dream and then we wake up. We do this about maybe 1,000 times during a 40-minute period of Zazen. Sometimes, you know, we make this effort to stay awake or stay alert, stay present. But our mind carries off. Our consciousness is continually being carried off. So when we know, when we realize that, even if we're having a good dream, we should just let go and come back. Just dream, let go, come back. And so keeping our eyes open is easier. But I must say, it's really hard to always keep your eyes open. So, one, I think, you know, we say, it says, the rules say, just keep your eyes open a little bit. You know, just enough. But that, when we do that, it's easy to just keep them closed. So, for many years, when I was sitting, I would keep my eyes wide open. Kind of like... because that way, I was really conscious of keeping my eyes open, and it induces the energy to keep your eyes open. You know, there's a balance between letting go and effort. And in Zazen, we're always making an effort, we're trying to keep our eyes, or to let go of the tenseness in our body, in our mind, and at the same time, to be fully and totally energetically present. So that's the balance to maintain. Maintaining that balance between effort and, I don't want to call it relaxation, because as soon as I say relaxation, people think, oh. I would say ease. Effort and ease. So that although there's total effort in Zazen, there's also a total ease. So that the posture, although it looks like it's like we're holding some unusual posture, it's actually full of ease. So the structure is it's like a building, you know. A building has a structure that holds it together, and that structure is very strong. So the structure of our Zazen is very strong, but the feeling is very easy, so that you have perfect flexibility in Zazen, even though we have this formal pose. It's all totally flexible. And when I go around and adjust posture, people are frozen. They're like boards. So, and resistance. So, we should let go of resistance and let go of the struggle to maintain our posture through muscular tension. It's simply all balance. It's all about balance. There is some muscular tension, but it's only at the base of your spine, at the small of your back. So we push our back forward, because our spine goes like this. It doesn't go like that, except in some of us. For some of us, our spine is like this. For some of us, our spine is like this. That's true. Scoliosis and so forth. But a normal spine has a curve at the small of the back. So we emphasize that curve, because that's what keeps us upright. And then it's no effort. It's simply lift up. Mr. Keep your head on the top of your spine and balance. So it doesn't, it's total dynamic functioning. But it's just full of ease. When you know how to use the least amount of effort to do the most amount of work. called conservation of energy. You should think about conservation of energy when you're sitting zazen. You do the least amount of work to do the most amount of result. And that's what you should be looking for all the time in zazen. So, although we're sitting like this, from this is the center of our body, and from the center up is one part, and from the center down is the other part. So your legs are like the roots of a tree, and the upper part is the trunk and the branches and leaves. So a tree looks like it's very stiff, but when the wind blows, the tree falls. The tree, you know, there's no stiffness, total flexibility, because this is the center, and this is where the effort is. In front is called dhara, which is also called the sea of ki. This is the central point of balance. And in the back, it's where the effort is. So the front is like a balloon. Flexibility. You have this flexibility in this kind of balloon. And in the back, you have the effort, the small of your back. The rest is just, you put your hands in the mudra, keep your head on top of your spine, and you continuously find your balance, because your posture is always falling out of balance with everything else. So you're continually adjusting, micromanaging your posture so that you're always sitting up straight and finding your balance. And when your head leans forward, which in most people it does, and the back arches a little higher, your head should be, you should feel like there's a string from the top of your head to the ceiling, and your body's just falling, held by that string. That's the way to find your posture. Sometimes people, we hold our mudra as a circle feeling with the thumbs barely touching and facing each other and up against your abdomen. But there's no tenseness in it. When you find your thumb going like this, then you know that there's a lot of tension in your body. So this mudra, cosmic mudra, is a barometer. That's why when I adjust people's posture, I always make sure that they're holding the mudra correctly. Because the mudra tells you, informs you about the tenseness or relaxation of your body. And when it's tense, you know there's something, there's tenseness in your body. So you let go. And whenever you feel tenseness, you let go. So you're continuously letting go. And the more you can just let go and readjust, the easier it is to sit zazen. Then it's easier to accept whatever's happening in your body or your mind or your state, mental state, emotional state, and so forth. You're simply empty. This is called emptying out. So, when we keep our eyes open, this is the main subject, we keep our eyes open, it's easier to stay awake. David?
How much effort in the small of the back? You said you make some, but how much?
Oh, about 100%.
We have a small disagreement there.
Well,
80%.
What? 100% means that you're totally there, 100%. And it's like when you, if you have a stringed instrument, and then you, you know, you turn the key, and it tightens the string or loosens the string. This is exactly what it is. So you have to find the place where it's in tune. You have to find the place where your vertebrae is in tune with the whole of your body. That's called 100%.
I get sort of confused when I think about, you know, sort of being with what's so, and with what's so, you know, and trying to sort of, you know, look for ease in my body. Like sometimes that doesn't feel, you know, like looking for ease sort of feels a little bit goal oriented, or like I'm trying to change the way that I feel or am or experience myself.
I don't think so. I mean, I don't see anything wrong with that. Goal-oriented, we do have a way of doing something. I don't know if I call it goal-oriented.
I mean, but if I'm sitting and I feel like I'm not at ease, or I'm tense or something, or resistant, you know, then I feel like I'm trying to change that instead of just being with how that is.
If you want to feel that way, go ahead. Not me. I don't want to feel that way.
Yeah, I don't really want to feel that way either, but I sort of feel like I want to be awake to how I am, you know.
Yes. You're awake to how you are, and then you're awake to how to empty out. So, you know, if there's a way to sit zazen, and to sit zazen with ease. So I would rather sit zazen with ease in any other way. And I don't see anything wrong with that. That's the way that all the ancestors have set zazen. So, of course, during zazen, we have problems, right? We have problems of discomfort and so forth, you know. So, you make the effort to sit with ease. But even though you do that, there are intrusions, so to speak. So you simply accept the intrusions. That's not it. Your legs hurt, so you accept it. You don't try to get rid of it, but you accept it. But at the same time, you have an intention of how to sit with ease. Why not sit with ease if you can do that? So sitting with ease means accepting the pain in your legs, accepting the difficulty, accepting, you know, whatever's there. That's also sitting with ease. So, and that's as much of a goal as sitting with ease. Don't you think? Neil?
What causes the body to shake during
zazen? Well, some people are have this tendency to shake. During the 60s, I remember there was a contagion. There were some people called shakers, and they'd shake, and then somebody else would start shaking, and then somebody else would start shaking. I think my theory is that an action has a reaction. If you go that left, there's a reaction on the right. And then there's a reaction on the left. And so it sets up a motion. And the motion is a vibration. And then the vibration
takes the form of shaking. So part of it could be, I want to do this, but I really don't. Or I'm glad I'm here, but I wish I wasn't. Something like that. So I think part of it is kind of an internal disagreement. I haven't seen that happen very much in the last 30 years or so. But it does happen. But that's the way I think about it. But it could be other things. I don't know. So, I remember Suzuki Roshi would say, well, just go ahead and sit that way and then see what happens.
Could you talk a little bit about Kenhin, the slow kind that we do in the Zendo, and how far to move and put your foot down, blah, blah, blah?
Well, should I talk about blah, 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 or what?
that could be worth something, sure.
What part of Kenhin are you?
Well, some people move faster than others. Some people pick up their foot and hold it in the air and move really, really slow. And then some people kind of shuffle and just, you know.
Yeah. Well, Kenhin is walking zazen. But it's very slow moving, so that you don't have the perception of movement. But it's kind of like a snail, you know. You see the snail over here, and then 5 minutes later, the snail's over here, but you didn't see it move. in Kenyan, you have your hands in chashu, right? Like this. And then you take a half step. And when you lift your foot, you lift your foot in sync with your breath. So when you inhale, the foot comes up. And when you exhale, your foot goes down. And then you should leave some space between you and the person in front. Some people are unconscious of the people around them, but you should always be conscious of the people ahead of you and behind you. That's harder. But at least ahead of you. So that there's, you know, you're not piling up. Right? So, you take one breath, or if there are a lot of people that are walking, you know, slowly, then maybe take two or three breaths before you lift your foot. You lift your foot and you put it down. I think it's best to lift your foot just a little bit, just enough, so it almost feels like you're shuffling. And then the next one, and the next one. So it's really a kind of moving zazen that's very slow. Okay. Look like it's time to end, is that right? Okay, well thank you very much. We have to collect the cups. While we're collecting the cups, somebody can ask a question if they want.
Hui Tzu Roshi suggested once that one should put one's body mind in one's mudra.
Mm-hmm.
I was wondering what you think of that.
Oh, put your mind in the mudra.
Body mind.
Yeah, yeah. Keep the mind in the left hand. Well, it means simply that, you know, this is the focal point. The mudra is down here by the heart. Mudra is down here by the hara. And the hara is the center of your body. So the center of body is where you should keep your attention. As the focal point, the main focal point. So if you say keep your mind in the left hand, it means keep your mind focused on the center of your body, basically. This is where your breath comes and goes. If you think of dhara or your center, as the sun, as the solar plexus, then all of the body parts are the satellites. So it's a cosmic entity, actually, it is. So when we keep our attention here on the solar plexus, solar means sun, which means light, then this is the source of light. So we're continuously in zazen expressing this light.